This week we took a break from Romans and considered Psalm 42. The psalmist starts off by saying, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you." Often we think of this verse, maybe because of the song, as in a good way, like my soul thirsts for God, it hungers for him, which those are good desires, of course. We would want that. But it goes so much more for this psalm. And in this way, he's saying he doesn't feel God's presence. He doesn't feel quenched. His spiritual thirst is not being quenched in God, or he doesn't feel as though it's being quenched in God. And therefore, he's panting. He's dehydrated for God and his presence. So we're going to walk through the psalm very quickly and consider the things which he says about himself. Verse 2, he says, "My soul thirsts for God." In short, he does not feel God's presence or sustenance at the time. "When shall I come and appear before God?" He feels separated and unable to come before the Lord, unable to worship or prayer. He says that his tears have been his food day and night. In other words, I believe we could understand that he's saying he doesn't find any joy in eating right now. Rather, he is just crying both day and night. It's a prolonged feeling of desperation. "While they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God." He used to lead in singing worship and worshiping the Lord. With the voice of joy and thanksgiving, he experienced the joy of his salvation and giving gratitude or thankfulness unto the Lord with a multitude, keeping festival. So why is he in despair? "Oh, my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me?" he asks. "Oh, my God, my soul is in despair within me." Verse 6. He says, "I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" Notice the importance, though. He states that God is his rock. All right? And that is an important thing to consider, that he is considering God to be his stability, that which he stands upon, his foundation upon all else which is built, and it has not, and he feels as though his rock has forgotten him. "So why do you go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? It's the shattering of my bones. My adversaries revile me. While they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you in despair? And why have you become disturbed within me?" So we see three times now he talks about despair and disturbance twice. He is not in a good place. He is thirsting for God. So what we must do now that we've considered the situation that the psalmist is in, let's consider who God is according to the psalm. He is the living God. As it says in verse 2, he's not far off. He is not sleeping or slumbering. He's not weary. He's not changed. He's not forgotten. He's not dead. He's alive and well. And he's powerful and in control. He's gracious, loving, merciful, and kind. We also see that he says in verse 5, "I shall again praise him as the living God." He's worthy of worship and praise. He's the help for the help of his presence. We see that he is present. He hasn't forgotten, the psalmist. Verse 7, "Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me." In short, we could say God is in control of your trials. These waterfalls, these breakers and the waves which are rolling over him, they are God's. "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime." How can he rest in this truth that trials and hardships are under God's sovereign control? Well, God is gracious. He has loving kindness. He keeps his promises. "And a song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. He is the help of my countenance and my God." Look at the very end of Psalm 42. God is the helper of David's emotions. The way in which he lives and portrays himself, his demeanor, because God is that which he worships. So what is then the psalmist's response to these truths? We'll consider the psalmist's response as he works through his struggle. Look at verse 4. "These things I remember and I pour out my soul within me." He recognizes these things and he voices them unto the Lord. He prays them. Hope in God. He places his confident expectation in the Almighty God and nothing else. Verse 5. And verse 6. "Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon and Mount Mizar." I believe he's recalling God's faithfulness in delivering Israel into the promised land. We see he says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him." In verse 11, he calls himself to his senses to hope in God, to place his trust and his joy in God, knowing that the joy of his salvation will be returned and he will praise he who is worthy and worthy alone, because he's living, because he keeps his promises, because he is present, because he's the help of his countenance, because God does not change no matter how many different things and trials and hardships change around us. Thank you.